Now, it's time for a little R&R.
Ball into the bucket, lays it up and in.
Ball game, Rizzo!
Live in the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
This team is going to be tough when they finally get it together.
Sit back and relax. Let Russo and Rizzo take you home.
Oh, mercy!
It's a Wednesday midweek edition of Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3. Good evening, early afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo, we are streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter/X at ESPN West Palm and ESPN South Florida. If you go check out the stream, Mike and I, we're on a yacht. Is this a yacht? This is a yacht, right? I don't speak boat.
Colin, it's a yacht, and you want to know something, brother? I am comfy.
You're a boat guy.
Big boat guy.
You're a boat guy.
Big boat guy.
So we're on a boat, and courtesy of the Fort Lauderdale, yacht sales and everything like that. And all these people. Let me just say this. Mike and I walked around the yacht show that is going on, the boat show that's going on down in Fort Lauderdale. And basically all I'm seeing is boat after boat after boat after boat that I would always be under the impression only billionaires had. And you check these price tags, and dare I say, boats are cheap.
Colin thought the biggest boat here was $300 million.
So we're at
I said, brother, no one would have a boat. So, no one would have a yacht if they were all $300 million.
So we're broadcasting live. We're at the Fort Lauderdale International Boat Show with Autograph Yacht Group. And Las Olas Marina aboard a beautiful 2024 Azimut S7 listed by Reed Berg. So that's what we got. That's all I got for you there. It's Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3. Got you for the next 2 hours today. Got a lot of baseball to talk about. Crucial game five tonight between the Dodgers and the Blue Jays. We got the Miami Dolphins. Got the Baltimore Ravens coming into town. And you're right. We were walking on this. We're at the Las Olas Marina. And we're walking down seeing these boats. I'm like, Mike, that's a $200 million
no.
boat. That's a $150 million boat, and I was sure of it. I was confident. That's a $150 million boat. I mean, it was a four-story boat, and Mike and I are sitting there, and all of a sudden we get a courtesy of Andrew of Autograph Yacht Club. We get a Autograph Yacht Group. We get a walk-around. He gives us a little tour. All right, here's this, here's that. This is this type of boat. That's that type of boat. You know, he speaks boat. I don't speak boat. And he's telling us, I'm like, all right, how much is that boat? He goes, 2-1?
Yeah.
2-1 what? 21?
2.1, kid.
2.1. 2.1 million. That's a four-story boat.
Right.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
Were you on it?
Yeah, so I told you my Uncle Mark got a boat from here last year.
I was always under the impression that boats are like these types of boats.
Yeah.
Yachts are for hundreds of millions of dollars worth.
Now, the one they're trying to sell that's like one of the showboats up there, as I call them, I did not know that that was – I thought that was going to be more. I thought that was more like kind of 50-ish. It was $28 million. So, Colin, a little out of our price range, to say the least. A little out of our price range. But this is – I'll tell you what. We are living in luxury right now, and I am very comfy aboard this very, very comfy vessel at the Fort Lauderdale Boat Show. Then the tour – Tom Brady did some stuff with the autograph. Tua bought a boat from their Miami show a couple of times ago as well. So Autograph is they do a lot of boat stuff with a lot of athletes as well. I found that fascinating as well.
I'm not a boat person. I didn't grow up around boats, even though I grew up in the Northeast. I have friends. See, the key to have to boat life
is to have a friend who has a boat.
You need to know somebody who's into boats. You don't want to be the guy who's into boats. You got to be the guy who has a best friend, who family relation, they share a boat with somebody, they have a boat that you could go out on and not have to worry about all the nonsense that comes with owning a boat. Mm-hmm. Because owning a boat means that you got to make sure the maintenance. We just got a rundown from
Mr. Burke.
Yeah, Mr. Burke, who runs Autograph Yacht Group. He's got to run down his life story. He was a mechanic before this, and boy, these boats, they break down. And then all of a sudden you need a mechanic, and only certain types of mechanics can look at these engines. And, you need to fly a guy in because it's like having a barber, and you only want to have a specific guy take
Mr.
a look.
Mr. Burke was known as Dr. Diesel.
He was Dr. Diesel.
Literally.
Which was bizarre because what they would do is they would fly in Dr. Diesel as a mechanic across the world.
I mean, he was in Egypt.
To go check out the engine of the boat. And he goes in, you know, living loud. And these are, you know, multimillionaires that are sending Mr. Burke out. Mr. Burke runs Autograph Yacht Group. So, I was, you know, I've learned a lot. You know, this is not something I'm necessarily – I don't know this stuff. I really don't. I didn't grow up in a boat family. I don't know.
We know.
Nobody in my family has a boat. And I always thought boats are hundreds of millions of dollars. Turns out they're only a couple million.
Kyle, we know Dave Roberts should have took out Shohei Ohtani in the seventh inning. They know how to fix the heart of a boat, which is the engine. That's, you know, that's our language.
Are you going to be a boat guy? If and when you get the, is that going to be an investment? Because I feel like when you own a boat, you need to have, you need to make a couple of decisions. You need to, instead of getting a second property, investing in a car or a, you know, motorcycle a collector's thing. A lot of people do boats.
It'll have to make sense. I'd have to. You know, we're still young. I mean, geez, you know.
Just saying.
I
it's a goal of a lot of people.
It's not necessarily a goal. It's something that if I could, number one, afford, which right now, folks, I'm a little priced out. Number two, location. Like, Kyle, if I live down here, big house, picket fence, family, sure, I could be the boat guy. I could have the boat, and I could deal with the boat. You know, if I'm living somewhere else, like if I'm living in Cleveland, Ohio, where I grew up, no, I do not want a boat to drive on Lake Erie and Sandusky. Absolutely not. But if I'm down here in South Florida, in the beautiful Atlantic Ocean in Fort Lauderdale and or West Palm, absolutely. If I could afford it and I could do it, I will do a boat. Just because I told you my Uncle Mark's boat guy, my cousin Mikey, you know, they're boat people. And it's rubbing off on me a little bit. But you want to know what I learned about boats? Expensive on the upkeep. It just has, you know, Dr. Diesel, Mr. Burke, our guy, all right? He made a living off of fixing people's boats, okay? Made a living off of it, made companies out of it. So
yeah, Mike
it's
Burke,
expensive.
And one thing he told us too, Mike Burke, who, you know, runs Autograph Yacht Group, he said that the average, lifespan
right.
of guys who buy a specific boat, you know, the amount of time they hold on to this boat, because apparently they depreciate fast. This is all apparently, because I don't know this stuff. But the average, for guys who go down to the Fort Lauderdale International Boat Show, buy a boat, the average kind of lifespan they have that specific boat before they sell it again or
yep.
try to flip it, trade it, is 28 months.
Yeah.
28 months. So you're looking at a little over 2 years, 2.5 years, for these guys to keep their boats. And I was I was dumbfounded by that, because I figure if you're going to get a boat,
it's like a lifetime investment.
Yeah,
kind of
just
thing.
There's your boat. That's your boat.
No.
That's like your house. All right.
No, but then you get upset when your buddy gets a bigger boat. You know, that's when you
see, that's where it's
that's
stupid.
When you have real money.
That's where
but,
it's
but
stupid.
But Kyle, that's where you have real money. Where
that's a waste
you're,
of time.
You're retired, and you know you did well for yourself. That's where you could
if
have
I got
the
a
luxury.
Boat like this, when am I going to meet up with the other boat? You know what I mean? Like, this is my I don't need.
But
it.
You're going to sell this boat to one up your buddy. You're going to sell this boat and take more money out to get the new boat that's going to one-up your buddy. And you're going to pull up at the dock and go, look at me now. And then he, in 6 months, is going to one-up you. And then you're just in this never-ending cycle of competing with each other.
That's a waste of time.
For you.
How
that's
about,
a waste of,
how
not
about,
for,
how about,
that's
I
a waste
boat.
Of time for you.
Let's get all the buddies onto one boat, and then we can switch off. Oh, you got a nice boat. We'll go on your boat this day. We'll go on my boat the other day. Maybe we'll do this. Maybe we can meet up somewhere. Who knows? If I'm not going to sell a 75-foot yacht because I didn't, it's 8 feet too short comparatively to Joe down the street, that would be a waste of time.
It's not down the street, Kyle. It's what's yeah.
If you're going to get a boat, that should be your baby. That should be a 10-year thing. Unless it hits, if it breaks down, it's like a car. It's like a car. You're not getting a new car every 2 years.
Some people do, Kyle. People do get new cars every 2 years. The new model comes out. You want to upgrade. You know, some people like the old retros, right? You know, Kyle, what did we see here? We saw new boats. We saw some ladies who have some style. You know, we saw some old boats who still have some style left, the retro boats out here. There's a boat for everybody at the Fort Lauderdale Boat Show, as we learned through the Autograph Group, okay? There's a boat for everybody.
I saw a boat over there. It's about 4 stories high. It's 4 stories.
Yeah, $28 million. You thought it was $400 million.
The one next to
you
it.
You thought that boat was $400 million.
Hold on. That one I did think it was $400 million. There's one next to it. There's a white boat over here, and it's 4 stories.
It's unbelievable.
They have pool chairs on the top. They have pool chairs on the top of the boat. It's like a $4 million
Dude,
boat.
Did you
it's
see,
a $4 million
so,
boat.
So once again, Andrew from
it's
the
a country club that floats.
Yep.
That's what it is.
So we've talked to a couple, you know, we've talked to Reed Burke, who's right now brokering
the Azimut.
We're going to have to get pronunciation from Reed. It's not right pronunciation, but it's okay. What I'm saying is there are all kinds of boats. The one that I liked And I forgot to ask Andrew how much it is. Dude, remember the hot tub right in the middle?
I don't like that.
Why?
I don't like that. It looked murky. Did you not look at it? It looked murky.
But like that's the hot tub. That's the look of the hot tub. That's the granite at the bottom showing off the water.
Have we seen any with helipads? I don't think we have. I heard if you go, we got to walk further down to the super yacht area.
And what happened? We couldn't go to the super yacht area because you want to know why? We couldn't go over there because they were changing the. Remember, they started moving the decks. Guys, you got to get down here. You got to get down here to the Fort Lauderdale Boat Show. I mean, they were moving the road. Okay, it's a dock, folks, but they were moving the dock, and we couldn't head over to the super yachts. But Kyle, you go over there. I'm sure you're going to see a helicopter on one of those things. Now, maybe those are $200 million.
All right, so here's –
maybe those are the $200 million boats that you're talking about.
I remember reading into this one time, and this is the thing. This is the thing, and people get upset if you get this wrong. So you think yacht. I think yacht. I see big boat, right? That's a yacht. There are big size distinctions, words, that they do it. And for, like, you know, the luxury models and the sizes, here's how they do it. Because I remember reading into this a couple months ago, and I just looked it up.
You were fascinated by it.
Yacht is, I think, what we're on. It's a recreational vessel, 40 to 80 feet, right?
Yeah, this is definitely that.
40 to 80 feet. After that, super yacht. All right? Super yacht is anything over, that is a yacht that is over 80 feet. Some industry professionals place the lower limit at 100 feet. All right? So it's a 100-foot boat. A 100-foot boat is a super yacht. And it has more luxurious accommodations. They got decks, water toys, a professional crew, multiple cabins. High-level comfort and service. All right, we're not done. Mega yacht. A mega yacht starts at 200 feet long.
Tua bought a 100-foot vessel at the Miami show.
Okay.
Yeah, so he did not get a super yacht. How about that? I bet you if you told Tua you didn't get a super yacht, he'd sell the 100-footer to go get the super yacht.
A super yacht is a 100-footer.
Okay.
That's a lower limit super yacht. Depends on what
industry. Do me a favor and go, Tua, you bought a lower limit super yacht?
Yeah. What do you need? Like, do you need like a notary to like determine whether this is a pro? I don't know. So there's a mega yacht. Mega yachts start at 200 feet.
Okay.
200 feet. And may extend well beyond that. They have lavish interiors, rival five-star hotels on the interiors. They have multiple swimming pools, helipads, gyms, spas, cinemas, and beach clubs. It's a cruise ship.
Yeah.
A large crew is required to do it. It's the ultra-elite for long-range cruising and personalized luxury travel. Mike, I'm not done. The Giga Yacht.
Giga?
Giga Yacht. It's a gigabyte, terabyte.
Yeah.
Gigabyte.
Okay.
Giga Yacht. Giga yacht, a rare category reserved for the largest private vessels, starting 300 feet, a football field in length.
Wow.
That's a cruise ship. A pinnacle of luxury, size, and engineering. Floating palaces are highly customized and can feature submarines, art galleries. This is the Google AI that I'm working with, so I don't know about the submarines.
It sounds like the yacht that I own in Grand Theft Auto 5 online play. You know, it's got your sub, it's got your helicopter, it's got the whole thing.
Giga yacht.
Yeah.
So if you call somebody's mega yacht a giga yacht, or you more importantly, if you call somebody's giga yacht a mega yacht, they're going to get pissed off.
Of course. Oh, you only got a mega yacht? Well, take a look at this giga.
I don't know.
Yeah.
This is a little much.
I like it. I love boat jargon, and I'm pumped to be here. I love that tour.
The tour was great. I learned a lot.
The tour
was great. I'm just not a boat person. I understand. If I'm going to get a boat, and I don't know if I ever will. I don't think I will. But if I'm ever going to get a boat.
You'd get this. You wouldn't want this?
Boat? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I would like to. The thing is, I don't know how to drive a boat. Isn't the big problem with boats these days is once COVID happened, everybody started getting boats.
I didn't hear this. You and Reed were talking about this.
Yeah, so
I didn't hear this.
I know this is a huge thing in the Northeast. So when COVID happened and everybody flooded out of New York City specifically, they went to, you know, I don't know, Long Island Sound. They went to Martha's Vineyard, Nantucket.
Okay.
They went to Cape
and
Cod.
And they just hopped out.
And they got boats, and they're not adequately prepared to drive said boats. So that was a major problem. And I know for a fact in the Northeast that they call them like the COVID boaters.
Okay.
And they don't know what they're doing. And they screw these boats up. They mess up the harbors. They're basically a nuisance. They're like a flea to the other boaters.
Jeez.
Yeah. So I don't know. I've heard that's a thing. Maybe I'm wrong. 888-760-3776. If you're a COVID boater or you hate COVID boaters, let us know.
Or even if you have a vessel, you know, if you'd enjoy boating.
Just sell me on owning a boat. I feel like this is a lot of upkeep. I feel like this is, you need to have a crew. A yacht. I mean, granted, We're not there yet. Let's put it that way. But if you're going to have a boat, you need to have upkeep. You need somewhere to store it. You need to make sure it's in a harbor at all times. You need to understand how much gas probably goes into something like this.
Maintenance is a big thing, too.
Maintenance. Now, if you're going to get a big boat, I think you need to downsize in other departments. You don't need a nice car. You don't probably need a big or nice house.
I don't know, Kyle.
Maybe you could afford both.
People who have this kind of money, brother, they got everything.
Mike,
they got it all.
A boat's $2 million. It's the same, you know, somebody gets a high-end, pretty a nice house. You know,
what did Andrew tell us? They, 30 grand a month. They pay 30 grand a month over a speed. You know, it's not like they're throwing $2 million on the table that day. You know, there are installment plans. So that's how you keep the boat. You pay off the boat, and then that's when you sell it. Use the money that you got for selling your boat to go get a new boat. And then on the new boat.
It's like a trophy thing.
And then on the new boat, you pay month by month.
This is like a trophy system thing. 888-760-3776. Sell me on owning a boat. We're at the Fort Lauderdale International Boat Show where Mike and I are basically seeing every yacht known to man. Super yacht, mega yacht, giga yacht, normal yacht. All these places. And these are the nicest boats you could possibly imagine. Actually, a lot cheaper. Inexpensive. Than I expected. I expected these boats to be, you know, $150 million, $75 million. I am dead wrong. There's a boat that's four stories high with pool deck chairs on it.
Yep.
And it's a $4 million boat. What?
I want the one with the hot tub. I know you weren't a fan of the hot tub.
Are you a fisher?
No. So I'd rather have the hot tub. Me and my future sweetheart, you know, go out in the middle of the Atlantic and just sit in the hot tub.
You had a boat.
On a brisk 60-degree night in January.
Found a girlfriend pretty quick.
First, you know, I mean, let's work on getting a boat.
Then. Is it the girlfriend, then the boat, or is the boat
then
the girlfriend?
I don't know. It's like the, you know, chicken or the egg, right? How does that work?
I don't know. This is awesome to see. I've learned a whole lot about the boating world. It seems to be like a little, it's not a niche community, but it is a sub-community of South Florida specifically. A lot of these boats are all around the world. Yeah. I heard the Mediterranean is a very popular spot if you have a yacht.
Yep.
People go out to the Mediterranean because you could get to Italy, you could get to Croatia, get to Greece.
What I found fascinating, Dr. Diesel, you know, or Mr. Burke, a.k.a. Dr. Diesel, who would fix these engines.
Mike Burke, who is the, you know, runs
the
Autograph
president.
Yacht
He's
Group.
A president. He's the president of Autograph Yacht Group. And he basically said... He would these millionaires would fly him to where they are, and the guy in Egypt owned a resort, so he'd be upstairs ordering room service, the whole thing, swimming in the pool while working on the boat.
And he has to work on the boat.
And these and he explained how people are with their boats. It's like they're it's like their child. So like this is a big deal. You're flying out Dr. Diesel to go fix your boat. It's a big deal.
Maybe I'll get one.
Let's work on getting the funds first. Let's work on getting. I'm lucky to pay rent.
I'm lucky to pay rent right now.
Let alone $30,000 a month on
your
a vessel.
32nd birthday. Your boat's gonna get out in the water
first time. Thanks for airing my age out. But no,
My bad.
No, you're. But yeah, we got rent coming up. $30,000, brother. They'd throw me in the clink. I wouldn't be able to afford my bills.
You wouldn't. If I had a boat like this, I feel like you don't even need to have a place to live. You live on the boat.
Yeah.
This boat that we're sitting in right now, the Azimut S7, this is This is a houseboat.
We went, Uncle Mark, we go to the Bahamas in the boat. It's that.
Does it have a bedroom and everything?
Yeah, dude. It's so three bedrooms.
You can live in there.
Yeah, three bedrooms.
You could live in that.
Of course. That's why I got my passport.
Well, you got screwed out of a trip because you didn't have your passport.
Of course, because I'm an idiot. I'd never been out of the country before that, but I got it now.
Have you been on a Bahamas trip yet?
No, I remember I missed the last one because it was the start of football season.
That's
when I was sold the lie that I had to, couldn't take vacation days during football season. That's when I was sold that lie.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Snake oil salesman.
Yeah.
All right. When's the next Bahamas trip?
I don't know. I got to talk to Uncle Mark, who is supposed to be at the boat show with my Auntie Laura and Uncle Jay. We're flying in from Cleveland tomorrow.
A lot of aunts and uncles. That's Mike Rizzo. Colin Russo, 888-760-3776. Are you a boat owner? If so, why? What would you do? What sell me on becoming a boater? Because I feel like that's a certain type of person likes boating. They like the lifestyle. They like the game. They like the community. The most thing I'm fascinated by is why do people buy and sell boats and upgrade just a little bit after 2 years and they try to get a little bit bigger.
That's the best way I can put it to you. It's like the new model of a car coming out. My granny,
the iPhone. No, they treat it like the iPhone.
Yeah, but
it's like getting a new one. It's like getting a new phone.
I promise you, it's the same thing with cars.
Yeah, but I
people upgrade cars. People who could afford to get the newest model
some
of the
car. Some
people
collect cars, but I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. It's not like they're selling their Bugatti V1 to get their Bugatti V2.
Sure.
But you never know. Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo, 888-760-3776. Sell us on owning a boat. If you're a boat owner in the area, I want to know what the fuss is about. We're broadcasting live from the Fort Lauderdale International Boat Show with Autograph Yacht Group at Las Olas Marina down here in Fort Lauderdale on this beautiful 2024 Azimut S7 that's listed by Reed Burke. Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo, Damian Perez is back at the City Place Studios in downtown West Palm Beach. We'll take a time out here. Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.8. First, I got to tell you, because Anajar and Levine, if you get into a boat accident, if you get into a car accident, if you fall down the stairs, my friends Mark Anajar and Glenn Levine at Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys, they are here to fight for you. They don't charge you unless you win. They work tirelessly to get you the maximum compensation that you deserve. They are the best in the business around. They're right here in Fort Lauderdale. Don't settle for just any attorney. Demand the best. Demand Anajar and Levine. Take that one phone call. Take back control of your life. Don't wait. Call for the free consultation now. Call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733. Take back control now with Anajar and Levine. We'll take a timeout. Come back after this. It's Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Go get started. Start your day with a victory over at F45 downtown West Palm Beach. It's functional style of lifting. So if somebody, you don't want to feel stiff, you don't want to necessarily feel immobile after you do a heavy lift. Instead, do the functional side. Do F45. It's 45-minute classes. You got two coaches on site making sure you're doing things properly. Loud music, a lot of fun, like-minded fitness individuals who like to show up for classes in the morning or in the evening. Get started today. Check out a studio near you online at F45 or go to F45 downtown West Palm Beach on Instagram to get more information today. Well, Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo, Aiden Hutchinson just signed a contract, and you know, it wasn't as high as Micah Parsons. How about that? $45 million annually for his guarantee, but he's got the highest guaranteed money. Aiden Hutchinson, the deep pass rusher for the Detroit Lions. 4 years, $180 million. Not as much as Parsons, but definitely a well-deserved contract.
Yeah, I mean, those are the positions you pay. You know, you pay the defensive ends. And now, Kyle, you know, you and I kind of disagree with it, but you pay your star wide receiver. You know, there are the premium positions that you pay. And obviously quarterback's number one on that list. If I had to choose, it's quarterback and the guy rushing the quarterback. So I have no problem with Aiden making that money. Very good player. Even after coming off that injury. You know, remember he got injured, what was that, last year, a few years back?
Yeah, it was last year.
Yeah, last year. And coming off that injury, he's still playing well on a very good Detroit Lion team. I think it's rightfully deserved. And, Kyle, one of the positions you always pay.
Yeah, see, of the positions you do always pay, pass rusher makes a ton of sense because usually pass rushers are on really good teams. The Lions, Aiden Hutchinson's on a very good team. Myles Garrett, you know, chalked in, took the money. He's on a bad team.
Well, hopefully they could turn it around.
Uh-huh. Right. T.J. Watt is on a good team. I mean, Micah Parsons is on a good team, usually on a good team. Even with Dallas, they were on a good roster there. Like, yeah. You know, Jacksonville has good edge rushers. Houston has pretty good edge rushers.
Colin, when you're starting a team, it's, you know, head coach and quarterback. You want that relationship, and then you work your way down from that. And I think pass rushers high up on that list. Obviously, offensive line, you know, your stud offensive tackle to protect your quarterback's backside, and a couple of guys to throw to him. I'll even throw a lockdown corner on there as well. But you build out. You get the head coach, you get the quarterback, and I think the defensive end is right after that. And that's how you build your roster.
I kind of think it's an overrated position in terms little amounts of game wreckers. How many game wreckers are in the league?
Here's the thing. The Packers, as much as I kind of, you know, was sick of hearing about how the Packers got the preseason Lombardi for getting Micah Parsons, they made that deal to win a Super Bowl. Right? If you're a great team, you need that cornerstone edge rusher that's going to get after the quarterback. I mean, I dare you to fight. You know, I think Kansas City might be an outlier, but they have Chris Jones. You know, Jones, and for even with the Rams before, you know, they had Donald. They had Aaron Donald. So you always have someone on that defensive line that's going to be able to wreck a game. I love that you call them game wreckers because
Isn't that term thrown around a little loosely?
Like, all right, tell me someone who doesn't deserve the – I guess, tell me a player.
Josh Hines-Allen.
I mean, okay. Yeah.
Not a game wrecker.
Sure, agreed.
I mean, agreed. Is Will Anderson a game wrecker?
He he is paired up with the former Minnesota
Vikings. Danielle Hunter.
That's why. Like, they have a solid core of two guys who at any point can get after the quarterback. Like,
Jared
that's a good situation.
Jared Verse, is he a game wrecker? Is Max Crosby a game
wrecker? He's good, though. Like, Verse is good. I think Crosby is. Crosby's more like Garrett. He took a contract on a bad team.
Let's define your game wreckers. Miles Garrett is a game wrecker.
He's the best in the league.
Yeah, he's the best in the league. Miles Garrett is a game wrecker. Is Trey Hendrickson a game wrecker? I know he led the league in sacks. Is he really a
good
game wrecker?
Good player on a bad defense. Is that fair to say?
I don't think that's fair.
Remember when Cincinnati was trying to get rid of him?
It's hard to judge him because there's not a lot around him.
My issue is, like, if the Browns were openly, say the Browns, the Steelers, the Lions, were openly trying to trade their star edge rushers, you'd have teams lining up like Green Bay did with Michael Parsons. Why weren't teams lining up for Trey Hendrickson? Because I feel like teams didn't think the juice was worth the squeeze. Like, if you say, if a team would have went out and traded for Hendrickson, it would have been a trade and a re-sign immediately to a brand new deal, just like how the Green Bay Packers did with Michael Parsons. I guess that's my pushback a little bit on Hendrickson. Because, and by the way, great player, former FAU Owl, but at the same time, no one was willing to trade with the Bengals. Maybe the Bengals were asking for, quote, too much. Maybe people didn't want to deal with an organization like the Bengals, who a lot of people did not like the way they've handled their business in the past. But I think a player like that who goes onto the market should have found a new team immediately. You didn't see any play. You didn't see any teams trying to trade for Trey Hendrickson.
If you're going to give all this money to a huge player, you got to make sure. Because here's the thing. Max Crosby this year, I mean, he's played 7 games. He's got 4 sacks. And I'm not saying you can't just chalk it up to the sacks. He's getting double teamed. He's on a bad defense. They're, you know, the other teams are running the ball all the game. It's hard for him to succeed.
I feel like double-digit sacks at the position is good. And you think he's on? We're at the half, just a little bit over the halfway point. If he gets to 10, I think that's a solid.
Here are the sack leaders for this year. Miles Garrett's at 10. Brian Burns, quietly, also at 10 sacks, same amount as Miles Garrett, which is very impressive. On top of that, Byron Young of the Los Angeles Rams, he is at 9. He had Nick Benito, who is who just got paid this offseason, who has been a star. He has been a game wrecker for the Denver Broncos. Then you have Rashawn Gary and Micah Parsons. Rashawn Gary is the beneficiary of Micah Parsons. Parsons is at 6.5 sacks, while Rashawn Gary is at 7.5 sacks.
And Parsons, dare I say, and listen, I told you I was sick of the talk before the season, but he's a great player. And he's playing with an epidural in his back, basically, all season long. So I give him a lot of credit.
So I just sit here and say, when you're going to give the guy $180 million, you're going to give him $150 million, you're going to pay him $35 million annually and give him 75% of his contract fully guaranteed. I think the term game wrecker is very loosely thrown around. And I don't necessarily say that these guys are not worth it, because obviously if you just watch Miles Garrett, I mean, he completely changes the football game. So does Micah Parsons. Those guys are perennial first-team All-Pros.
Yep.
I think Aiden Hutchinson is sort of in that category. He is a great player. So I maybe he's closer to being a game wrecker than he is
I'm
not.
I'm interested.
But there are other guys who have up years, down years. A lot of it is situational.
It is. And I'm interested to see what Hendrickson's next step is going to be after this season. It's a one-year deal, and he's definitely –
He did it off the point so we could get unrestricted free agency next year.
And to that point, I was going to say I could almost guarantee you he's not going to be on the Bengals next year. So, like, I'm interested to see the contract that he signs, because look at the deal that Hutch just signed, right? It's not the most money over what, how many years, but it's the most what, guaranteed money, you said? And apologies for loosely talking about the contract language, but most guaranteed cash, not the most money in general. So who's the next guy? It's always the next guy to get paid usually gets the record-breaking money. I don't know if Hendrickson is a guy who gets the record-breaking money. Is that fair to say? I don't think he does. I think it would have happened this offseason. The Bengals would have traded him, and it would have been a sign-and-trade
contract. Yeah, and the one thing is, Micah Parsons signed a contract that was probably way above market price. Packers really wanted to pay him. They gave him about $4 million
Parsons
more.
Parsons is better than Hendrickson, right?
Much better.
Okay, all right.
Like, 100 times better. Okay. He'll be an all-pro again this year.
That's why I think he got the money he did. That's why.
And he's worth it. He is a game wrecker.
Yes.
I'm not denying it.
I'm not trying to disrespect Trey Hendrickson, okay? But at the same time, there are levels to this. And I feel like the levels are Miles Garrett. And listen, Watt hasn't been anything spectacular within the last year and a half.
Watt's getting
either.
Older, and I think you're seeing that.
But you know what I'm saying? He hasn't been the guy he was 2 years ago. So that's why I think it's so impressive with Garrett, who's almost 30 years old, to be able to still doing it at such a high level.
Yeah, I mean, Watt, we're a year removed, 2 years removed from Watt having 19 sacks.
Yeah, he was unreal.
You know, he had 11 and a half last year. He played 17 games. This has been somebody who is really dominated, but he's only had four this year through the seven games.
And as Steeler fan, I know him well. My best friend Gomer and his dad, Mr. Combs, it's like that's all they do. They at the time, they go, I don't want him. He's old. That's what the Steeler fan was telling me. Why are you giving an old guy like that much money? His best days are behind him. I would never say. I go, guys, you're crazy for not wanting T.J. Watt. Because at the same time, Miles Garrett was up for a deal.
And he's a great all-around defender, too. Yeah. There are some guys who are pass rush specialists, and all they do is get sacks.
And that's Miles. And let's call a spade a spade. That's what Garrett is. Garrett goes, you know what, to the wall to get to the quarterback. T.J. is going to help stop the run as well, to your credit.
Live here at the Fort Lauderdale International Boat Show, Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3. If you are an athlete, want to get your fitness level to the next stage, to the next step, you got to think about not only is it showing up, getting up every morning, going to the gym, doing the physical work, feeling that toll on your body. On top of that, it's the recovery, and it's how you fuel your body. VitaCost Sports Certified Marketplace, it's up. It's built for athletes and fitness enthusiasts who like to train hard and understand what benefits of clean supplementation and nutrition can do for you. Whether you're prepping for a triathlon, you're prepping for a marathon, you're just grinding at the gym, want to put on weight, you're just trying to be a little bit more health conscious, VitaCost is your go-to because their Sports Certified Marketplace has over 400 performance-enhancing supplements. All certified, which means they're free of any banned substances. You know there's nothing funny business going on, and they all help you level up. When I did my Ironman, I don't know where I would have been without my electrolytes I got from there, without my hydration packets, without my protein, without my creatine, you name it. That's all courtesy of VitaCost, and they have the best marketplace I could find, and I did my research. VitaCost.com/sport-certified to make your purchase today. Use code ESPN20 for 20% off. That's ESPN20 for 20% off on VitaCost Sports Certified Marketplace. Level up your game today. We'll do a little 5-on-5 on the other side of things. It's Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo, Damian Perez. It's Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3. Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo. We got Damian Perez keeping us up over the airwaves back in West Palm. We're down in Fort Lauderdale at the Fort Lauderdale International Boat Show with Autograph Yacht Group at Las Olas Marina. Aboard a beautiful vessel and a yacht that I thought would be $100 million. Turns out it's about $2 million.
It's the Azmat. It's the Azmat model.
That's how it goes. But with the Game 5 tonight on the World Series side of things, you get the NBA full swing, got good college football this week, and college basketball is on the horizon, don't tell anybody. And then on top of that, you have the NFL, which is tomorrow with the Dolphins at home at Hard Rock against the Baltimore Ravens. You can bet all this on the Hard Rock Bet app.
Absolutely, and we had the Sports Equinox a couple of days ago. There's no better time to download the Hard Rock Bet app. I mentioned numerous times, throughout our Hard Rock lives, you got the Florida Panthers home. We're the home of the Palm Beach home of the Florida Panthers. So, listen, download that Hard Rock app, download that ESPN South Florida app, and let's have some fun betting on some Panther hockey while listening on that ESPN South Florida app. Also, Colin mentioned the World Series. I got rocked last night. I took the Dodgers. I'm going to double down, though. I'm going to take the Dodgers again and that run line. I think that lineup shows up. I think Ohtani shows up. And I think Blake Snell gets a little revenge after getting rocked for five runs all the way back in game one in Toronto. So that's kind of my play of the night. I like the Dodgers. I like Blake Snell. You got player props on there, too, for the World Series. Take that Blake Snell over five innings, over strikeouts. I'm going to be all over that stuff on the Hard Rock Bet app. And there's no better time to download it because if you're new and you deposit $5, you win that first bet, you get $150 in bonus bets instantly. That is our good friends at Hard Rock Bet. NHL, NBA, college football, NFL, MLB World Series. Offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus and physically present in Florida to wager. Terms and conditions apply. If you're concerned about gambling, call 1-833-PLAY-WISE. That's 1-833-PLAY-WISE.
The Florida Panthers, who lost again last night. They were able to beat the Golden Knights over the weekend, but lost in a shootout to the Ducks 3-2. They fought a 5-5-1. Just got 11 points through about a little over 10 games to 11 games to this point in the season. You missed Barkov yesterday. I think that was evident during a shootout scenario. But nonetheless, let's bounce around a little bit. Let's have a little fun. Let's 5-5, presented by Flagler Credit Union.
Five topics.
High five. 5 o'clock.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Let's get out of here.
Endless takes.
You can't handle the truth.
All gas, no brakes.
And it's shaking, Bank 10.
It's time for the 5 at 5.
Hold on to your butts.
Presented by Flagler Credit Union, proud supporter of FAU Athletics. Number one.
Kyle, we are inching closer to the trade deadline, and we have some action. The Eagles trade John Michie III to the Jets for Michael Carter II. So we have some movement on the NFL side as far as guys re-signing. We'll get to Aiden Hutchinson in a second. But, Kyle, we do have a trade. Eagles trading John Michie III to the Jets for Michael Carter II. In your eyes, Colin, in your eyes.
Is that running back depth for the Eagles? How about that?
What do you think with the Eagles making this trade? And it's going to be an NFL-heavy 5-at-5 today presented by our great friends at Flagler Credit Union. What are the Eagles? Is there anything else they need to trade for?
Can Brandon Graham still play? I mean, they picked him up off the street. We know how he's a franchise great, but he's back. And he's going to be playing edge rusher for them. They need edge rusher help after losing Nolan Smith for the year. They have the interior. We know that. But can they keep it up on the edges? Now, the Phillies are a pretty well-constructed team. They got everything kind of working out. They have a little bit of a hole in the secondary with no Darius Slay, but I think they're getting better with that. Can they continue rushing the quarterback? I'm surprised Michael Carter. You know, they have receivers, A.J. Brown or not. They have guys. They have tight ends. They have running backs. But outside of the pass rushers, and I don't know if they're not in the market for one. I'd be surprised if they were, at least. Because you could always use more pass rushers.
Right.
I don't know where else they would look. But, I mean, the only one that really comes glaring to mind are pass rushers.
We are inching closer to that trade deadline. And, Damian, that leads us into number two.
Number two.
Kyle, what team in the NFL needs to make a deal and what position?
So, wide receivers are the ones that are really getting thrown around. You know, 2 weeks ago, everybody thought the Patriots need to go get a guy. But Kayshon Boutte, the LSU receiver, has done absolutely he's been absolutely sensational the last couple weeks, at least in deep ball and getting touchdowns on the board. But that's always been a team that has been flirtatious with getting an additional receiver. I wonder if Jacksonville will make a move for a receiver as a team that definitely needs receiver help, Travis Hunter or not. So that's another team you look at. And on top of that, I mean, the Giants were talking about upgrading post Malik Nabers. After the last 2 weeks and two straight losses, I'm not sure if they're still on that wave. You know, I was thinking about the Packers making a move too, but Packers are getting healthy too.
Yeah,
Romeo Doubs is back. They're going to get Jaden Reed back in a couple weeks. They just got Christian Watson back. The receivers is where you keep your eye on. Are they going to move Chris Olave, guys like that?
I think the Steelers. Steelers have to do something to win that division. I think Baltimore picked up a lot of steam and momentum.
Yeah, they need offense.
I think it's clear that Aaron Rodgers could use another target. You mentioned Chris Olave. Listen, as much as I can't stand the Steelers and love my Buckeyes, Chris Olave makes a lot of sense.
He would be a no-brainer.
Makes a lot of sense, but I wonder what you give up. You know, they traded it. Kyle, here's the thing. The Steelers traded a second-round pick for DK Metcalf in the offseason, and then they traded George Pickens
for a second-round pick
to Dallas. So, like, now you're stuck between a rock and a hard place.
I would say.
Do you trade that second-round pick you got to Dallas for Olave?
It's probably what it'll cost. I don't know enough of his market. I'd be surprised if they gave him more than the third.
There's no way. Like, I was
getting him for a half a year. Third or fourth-round pick, I feel like you should do it.
But the Saints will certainly try to get that second-round pick. But that's probably where I would go. Story number two presented by Flagler Credit Union. What team has to make a deal for the deadline and what position? I would say Steelers at that wide receiver spot. Let's get into number three, Damian Perez.
Number three.
Well, Colin, sticking with the NFL, we all saw that disturbing injury, from Scataboo, running back for the New York Giants. You mentioned you don't think the Giants are going to go out and kind of make a deal after that. My question to you, because I'm fascinated by this, you think Brian Daboll, so far, has done enough, him and Joe Sheen. So remember, Joe Sheen, GM of the Giants, and Brian Daboll, head coach of the New York Giants, they were up there as far as job security. Are they going to be around after the season? Have you seen enough? And do you think owner Mara has seen enough to maybe keep these guys around?
Two things. Number one, I don't think I've seen enough personally. Number two is I think you're not going to know to the end of the year. I think it's going to be how they progress throughout the year. Losing Scataboo hurts. Yeah, as long as Jackson Dart is healthy, I think it's going to be the progression of the offense, the progression of the team. Do they, and no neighbors too, do they consistently take steps forward? Are they not going to go on losing skids? Will they be competitive week in and week out? I think the more you see stuff like that, the more of a chance that we're going to see Dable and Shane stay. But I sit here and say, I mean, you can't judge them for losing to the Eagles. They already beat the Eagles.
Right.
So, I mean, that's okay. You're allowed to lose that game in Philadelphia. But, you know, that Denver loss, I know it was a good game in terms of how they played. Can't lose games like that. That's a coaching game. So I'm not sure if they'll want to play around and do the dance again, but I think you're not going to know until the end of the year.
I think a lot of it comes down to Dart. And I think you gotta go five or six games. You go under that, you're not coming back. Why prove to me that you belong back by winning five, six games and looking competitive? Now, I will say this. The officiating in that Eagles and Giants game was the biggest.
Didn't change the game.
It didn't, but it was
it changed that drive. It probably maybe changed it staying in the game, but they couldn't get a stop.
I just feel like a lot of that stuff is momentum, Kyle. That's why I think it did change the game. But I agree to disagree. We both agree that they need to do more, and that's winning football games and making sure that Jackson Dart stays healthy and continues down the right trend for the New York Giants. Damian, let's do number four story.
Number four.
This is a 5 at 5 presented by our great friends at Flagler Credit Union. Let's go over to college football, Colin. Ton of coaches owed a lot of money. Fired coaches owed a lot of money. $168 million are owed to fired college football coaches this season. Kyle, do universities have to take a step back and look at how they offer the guaranteed money to the head coaches? Because this is insane. Florida State can't afford to get rid of Mike Norvell, and they're the biggest embarrassment in the sport right now, because you got LSU fired Brian Kelly with a record of 34 and about 14, and then you got James Franklin fired from Penn State, who went to a college football semifinal last year. So do you think that schools need to look into how they're handling these coaching contracts with $168 million still on the book guarantee?
This is talking about market and you talk about leverage. So the market for coaches is you got to hire them for multi-year deals. You got to sign them for 7 to 10 years. And on top of that, you need to sign them for an annual contract of within the range these days for a big school, $9 to $12 million. So you're talking about making $8 to $12 million over a 8, 9, 10-year period. That's where the market stands for a high-end college football coach. Now you got to ask yourself, are there moments in time that brings the market down a little bit? Maybe the exodus of big-time coaches at big-time schools and the lack thereof of big-time replacements maybe will bring the market down a little bit. But I think the fact is that there's only a couple really great coaches on the market that are willing to move jobs that are not at like the core seven that are safe. And outside of Lane Kiffin, how many current coaches are great no-brainer upgrades for huge jobs? There's not that many. So because of that, the market demands that there's a low demand, a low supply for a high demand. There's a lot of schools that need coaches, and there's probably not a lot of coaches that could fill these voids. That also means if Lane Kiffin were to leave, he's going to get 10 years. He is going to get $12 million a year, and we're going to call it a day. And
I agree.
And that, unfortunately, is going to be the truth of it, because let's say Lane Kiffin goes to LSU and doesn't succeed and they want to get rid of him in 3 years, they got to cough up $90 million. But that's the price it takes to get Lane to leave Ole Miss, and that is where the market price currently lies for these coaches, and I don't think it's a good thing, but I don't know how you could change it, because it's like it's almost like a union thing. The coaches and the agents all know each other. They're all going to say, let's keep raising the ante.
Let me answer, because that was well said, partner, and I agree with every word you said. And to answer my own question, it's only going to get worse. That number will be 220 next year, right? I mean, I don't expect some big fishes to get fired year in and year out, but the next time this giant exodus of college football coaches happens again from their current programs, I guarantee it'll be in the realm of 230. It's only going to get worse because the market's only going up. And I love what you said about Lane Kiffin. Yeah, it's going to take – you're going to have to 2X almost. You know, what's he making at Ole Miss? 7, 8? Yeah, you give him $13 million to go to LSU. I know he said to the media it's not about the money. Dude, $13 million a year. You're going to see Lane Kiffin at the Fort Lauderdale Boat Show next year looking at the $28 million a year.
Not at this side. Down
the other
there.
Side.
Yeah, the other side with the super –
where the big fish are.
The super yachts, right? The mega yachts,
yeah.
And the giga yachts.
Yeah. And he's going to – guess what? He's going to be wearing his LSU polo. So it's only going to get worse before he gets better. Dame, let's go into number 5 to wrap things up.
Number 5.
It's the story at number five, presented by Flagler Credit Union, the 5 at 5 on Russo and Rizzo. Today we are live at the Fort Lauderdale Boat Show with the Autograph Group, and we're having a great time. We're having a fantastic time. Colin, my question to you, after getting the grand tour from Andrew over at Autograph, what was your favorite boat? What was your favorite boat that
you saw? I like the boat we're sitting in, truly.
The Azmat?
I'm not just saying the Azmat S7 2024. Reed Burke helping us out with that. I think that the boat we're sitting in is perfect in the sense that it's comfortable. I think boats can get too big. You don't want a boat that needs 15 people in order to keep it running. That's what I don't think you need. You don't need 35 people running the ship, and you can just enjoy it. I don't think you need that. These boats can get too big. It's hard to dock it. It's hard to harbor it. Boats that you can control on your own, or maybe with the help of one or two other people, I think are the perfect size of boat if you can afford it. This is the type of boat that I would want. This is like, an 80-foot boat, 75-foot boat. So that I think, is
you're not
the
going mega? You're not going mega?
No.
Mega's 100, right?
Yeah. You're not going mega? I think.
You're not going mega.
What are you? Are you going to hire 16 people to live on the boat with you? The chef and the two captains and the four deckhands?
You know which one I like.
Which one do you like? No. Oh, the one with the hot tub?
Got to, first off, in order to get that, got to find $2.8 million lying around. And then you got to find the missus. So we could go out into the Atlantic
find
and hang
out. Find the missus before you find the boat.
Before the 2.8?
Yeah.
Find the missus before the 2.8?
Yes.
I tend to agree with you on that.
There you go.
That
was the 5 at 5 presented by Flagler Credit Union. Mike and I are now new boat people. Back in the game. We'll see if we're going to be lucky enough, fortunate enough to get some boats in the near future. We got Steve Palazzino, the Good Karma Brands president, who will join us on the other side of things first. It's just north of here, the 2025 Boca Raton Bowl. It's going to be kicking off its 12th year. Tuesday, December 23rd, mark your calendars, 2 p.m., Flagler Credit Union Stadium. Game's going to air on ESPN. It's going to have two of the biggest and best teams from the Group of Five that are going to battle it out for their chance at the title. More information can be found at BocaRatonBowl.com. Follow along on Twitter at Boca Bowl and Facebook.com/Boca Bowl for more updates as we inch closer to the 2025 Boca Raton Bowl, Tuesday, December 23rd, Flagler Credit Union Stadium. We'll bring in Steve Palazzino, the Palm Beach Sports Commission Hall of Famer, and also the president of Good Karma Brands. On the other side of things, it's Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.